Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Amen. This is the night the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a great night to die. To yourself. The three-letter word. Most powerful three-letter word. Die. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And all that is within us, bless His holy name. Hallelujah. You know, we've been talking about one of the things the Spirit has been bringing to us, and it's so vitally important, especially at the time that and season that we're in, and the things of exposure, and, you know, we're seeing a lot of things happening around us. In all kinds of areas. And we're seeing people get saved and we're seeing people fall. And in this, there's that area where, you know, the enemy's influence is causing people to fall. And the Bible even tells us that there'll be a falling away, knowing that it's the end time. And the falling away is just not about an individual that breaks covenant with God. It's an individual that chooses to do their will instead of God's will. Even though they're going to church, they can go to church and Bible studies and still choose to do their will instead of God's will. Amen. And one of the things that and why that happens is because an individual loses relationship, intimacy. And I think it's vitally important that we understand about intimacy and relationship. And you know, one of the things that we talked about what pleases God is relationship. Amen? What pleases Him? Relationship. And without relationship, it doesn't please Him. Why? Because you got to know Him. His whole purpose in creating me and you is that we would know Him. And then there's the place where we begin to serve Him. And I want to talk a little bit more about in that area of being intimate with God. Because in that intimacy, there's got to be something that has to happen. And it's called cleansing. You can't have a relationship. You can have long distance or close. How much you want to be close to God. So I'm going to tell you right offhand. There's a lot of believers that do things. But how close you want to be to God depends on what you touch. And how clean you are. You can either be long distance or close to Him. There's a place where there's intimacy to where you know what He thinks. You know what pleases Him, even though there's a relationship. And the closer you are to the Lord, the cleaner you are. Because you can't get close enough to Him until you're clean. The cleaner you are, the closer you are. In Genesis chapter 2, the cleansing. For those of you who want to know what tonight's title is. Thank you. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. It says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Does everybody see that? Very vitally important. In other words, the first thing that God did is He created physical substance to form man in this realm. But He didn't create man yet. He just created. He created a place for man to dwell into. Does everybody got it? Okay, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Again, God created physical substance to form man in this realm. Then transferred his spirit into the physical substance. Amen? By breathing into Adam's nostrils, and man became a living being. Again, First, God alone created man. He did not evolve. Man did not evolve from creatures or animals or anything else. Amen. All the cells, atoms, molecules, hydrogen, protons, neutrons, electrons, plasmas, or DNA didn't create man. Amen. Are you listening? None of that created man. Amen. The only thing it did was create a man, was to create the housing for the spirit of man. Amen? Because the spirit of man came from God and was transformed from God, from the unseen realm into the seen realm. Man was now placed, if you'll go a little bit further, we'll go to verse 8. It says, "Then the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed." So then man was placed not to serve, but to fellowship with serving. Into a place, the closest, purest relationship with the Creator is the first breath. Is everybody with me? That first place. In other words, when God breathed into Adam, that was so intimate. When he breathed into a shell, he transferred man that was already created, his spirit, remember, we came from God, into a shell. God gave him his own spirit and created a spirit and gave him personality that he could fellowship with. I mean, that is as close as you can be. Now, you got to remember that Adam didn't sin. He was pure, wasn't he? He was glorified. He was destined to live forever in fellowship with God. And God placed him into a place where there could be fellowship, intimacy, relationship, and training. And training. Is everybody okay? Here, again, the closest place, the purest of relationship with the Creator is that first breath. In other words, it's spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. And what begins to separate us is contamination. Spirit to spirit. Go to Psalm 24. Of course, the Lord provided food. He gave him the tree of life, right? Where he can maintain. He gave him everything there. In Psalm 24, verse 3. Psalm 24 and verse 3. Let's speak it together. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. How many of y'all know you can be your own idol? He's not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face, not just his hand. In other words, there's a desire to have intimacy. There's a desire to know him. So he says, who can have this fellowship? Who can have this intimacy? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. This intimacy and closeness takes a process of the cleansing. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 21. Is everybody there? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Let's speak it. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. Now listen. Cleanses himself from the latter. Did you used to drink before? Did you used to fornicate before? Did you use any of those things? is cleansing. Why? Because how close do you want to be to God? Did you used to use drugs? Did you used to use pornography? Did you used to, whatever it was, that was of the world that's bringing self-satisfaction to self is unclean. Anything can be an idol. Your job can be an idol. Your talents, your abilities, your spouses, and so forth. All of these things can be an idol, and anything that is an idol is unclean. And people don't even realize that even accursed items can become an idol. And what it does is it brings contamination. Anything that brings contamination will begin to cause separation. Anything. How about lying? How about cheating? Any of these things, anything that is not righteousness in the eyes of God is contamination. And it will cause separation. And what happens then, a person says, well, God knows my heart. That is a justification, not by God, but by self, to not do the things that are right. Amen? It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. One of the things that begins to happen, that there'll be separation from people who are clean and pure. An individual begin to separate himself or herself because they can't, because of the deception of the enemy, and the enemy begins to manipulate their thoughts, and they begin to justify and compromise and begin to believe what they're doing is okay. It's okay. God knows my heart. It's okay. I don't need to do this. It's okay. There's always an okay, and it's an okay of self-satisfaction, but it's not satisfaction from the Lord. Has everybody got it? Because there's only fulfillment from the Lord. So now there's a self-fulfillment, and individuals do not want to hang around with those who have a pure heart because the conviction of God's presence on them. Does everybody got it? In other words, the conviction on someone who has a pure heart, the presence of God on someone who has a pure heart will bring conviction to someone who doesn't. And when this begins to happen, religion begins to. This is where the spirit of religion comes. Because then there's pride and fear. Pride and fear. Again, the intimacy is established by how cleansed you are. Cleansing from contamination. Let's go a little further. It says, but what? Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. In other words, we should be able to teach, but you can't teach if you're doing what you know is not right. It disqualifies you. You're to be patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God will perhaps grant them repentance, that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by the devil to do the devil's will. Why? Because the devil's will is to remove an individual from the presence of God. It's so that the person does not have a pure heart or clean hands. Again, the more contaminated a person is, you'll find that they lack prayer, they lack presence, they lack worship, they lack accountability, they lack integrity. And they begin to get fulfillment from the world. They try to keep themselves busy, and they justify themselves of their busyness. And they make excuses to justify themselves. We are to cleanse ourselves from contamination. And this contamination is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which now feeds the world by the prince of the power of air. I'm going to say that again. This contamination is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which feeds the world through the prince of the power of air. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. What removed Adam and Eve from the garden? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Well, it's not removed. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. The cleansing. That's why there's a shaking, there's a cleansing, there's so many things that are happening right now. You know, people's hearts are being exposed. The reality of who they really serve is being exposed in every area. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, let's speak it together. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. Why? Because what are they being fed from? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they think they're good. I'm a good person. But they're actually dying. They're decaying. Because they're not eating. Only you can live by eating of the tree of life. Not of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved. In other words, by the plan of God you are saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Again, now the earth is ruled under the prince of the power of air. People are now being fed by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in this, because they're eating this, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's separating them from God, from the intimacy and relationship, so they cannot please God. Thank God the tree of life came. And he came through Jesus Christ. Amen. And he came to awaken, to restore, to position, and to cleanse us. He came to awaken, to restore, position, and cleanse us. The cleansing. In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. He came to awaken, restore, position, and cleanse us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Again, the cleansing. The blood cleanses us from the acts of contamination that scars us. And it promotes decay. So the blood of Christ cleanses us from the associations with darkness, the acts. The cleanse is activated by an individual who is sorrowful, regretful, and repentful. In other words, he says, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do that again. Why? Because that person doesn't want to displease God. Has everybody got it? In other words, that's why we repent. We're not repenting to get anything. We're repenting to get to him. Because of the intimacy and relationship. Because we know that in us, we were born with a desire to please God. And the only thing that pleases God is relationship. So in this area where the contamination is always being influenced by the powers of darkness, where people are eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thinking that they're good, but they're contaminated. And then there's a separation from God. They can't hear God. In fact, then the heart begins to get hardened where there is conviction. And I mean, where there is no conviction. There is no conviction at all. Amen? So the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all acts of contamination that scars us and promotes decay. This cleanse is activated again by a sorrowful, regretful, and repentant heart that says, I don't want to do it again. I don't want to do it again. In some areas, a person says, I would rather die than do it again. In James chapter 4. So this is one of the areas of cleansing. Now, you know, we know that if we don't wash in the natural, we can be contaminated, right? In fact, sometimes you can smell that contamination. You know, when I was in Cambodia, and we were doing a medical outreach, the worst thing, the major thing was that people didn't have clean water. So they had all of these cysts on them. Children, little children, I'm telling you, big cysts like a half of a football, abscesses. There was a couple that had them on their eyes where their eyes were almost shut closed. And I don't want to go into the gory areas of cleaning them up, but anyway, so it was on my heart, and I went into town and I bought out of this one place all they had of Head and Shoulders. Everything, because it's got an antiseptic whatever in it. And so we were telling them to wash their hair and wash their whole body with it so that they can get cleansed. So we know that, you know, without a washing of any sort and cleansing, there's contamination. And we must maintain that place of staying cleansed, not only physically, but spiritually. Because if you're not clean, people don't want to get near you. Physically. And spiritually, a person that isn't clean doesn't want to get near someone who is clean. Works the opposite, doesn't it? James 4, in verse 1. It says what? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war and you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasure. In other words, he's saying, look, you don't ask because why? You're not in prayer. And he says, when you do ask, you only ask for your selfish things to promote self, for your own pleasures. In verse 4, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Why? Because friendship with the world means a person is eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's delivered by the prince of power of air. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at this. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Whoa. Draw near to him. What's he saying? Restore to him in intimacy and relationship by the cleansing of the hands, things we've touched or we've agreed with in the mind. And cleansing of the heart, things we've chose. Wrong choices that have brought contamination. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, one of the things that happens when a person becomes contaminated, they become deceived. They become blinded. Scales start to come back on the eyes, and the heart becomes more and more hardened. Usually an individual has to go to a great fall. They have to fall greatly to get restored. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, would you read it with me? It says, "In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore," means if you'll do this, if you'll what? "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not" what? "Touch what is unclean." So if you don't touch anything that's unclean, what are you going to stay? Clean. Amen. So you won't be contaminated. "And I will be a" what? "Father." Why? What's he saying? We're going to keep this relationship and intimacy going. "And I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord." In other words, don't touch what is unclean, spiritually and physically, to maintain intimacy and relationship. Because relationship is what pleases God. Amen? Because we want to know him. In John 13, you know that song we sing, "To Know Him"? It's not to fear, not to worry. To know him. To know him. In John 13 and verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you'll have what? No part of me. If I do not wash you, you have no part of me." In other words, he's saying, you must be cleansed for us to have a relationship. You must be cleansed. You must be clean. You must have a pure heart and clean hands for me and you to have a relationship. You must allow me to wash you so you can have a part of me. And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." So Peter says, "Okay, I got it. Soak me. Draw a bath if you have to." Amen? Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. The cleansing. You know, you always wonder sometimes. I mean, I don't wonder anymore about it. I always know now why people do what they do. Contamination. I mean, it's contamination. They begin to eat from the wrong tree. It has a good look to it, but it's contaminated fruit. And they agree with it. And people get contaminated by what they see, what they hear, what they feel, what they touch. They get contaminated. And then once that contamination starts, it gets worse unless it's severed. And Ezekiel 36 and verse 23. Let's speak it together. "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God. When I am" what? "Hallowed in you before their eyes." In other words, they see that you have a pure heart and clean hands. They see that you don't laugh at dirty jokes. They see you don't touch unclean things. They see that you don't drink, you don't party, you don't do the things of pleasure, of self-indulgence from the world. They see you totally different, and they don't understand you. But you know what? They sense something. That you're not like the world. And because you're not like the world, you are able to give God glory. Amen? Let me share something with you, which is profane, is to give God glory when you're contaminated. Has everybody got it? You try to give God glory when you're contaminated, He doesn't receive it. In verse 24, let's speak it. And I will take you from among the what? Nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle what? Clean water on you. In other words, I'm going to wash you. And you shall be what? Clean. And I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. Idols. False trusts. I will give you a what? New heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. I mean, what a blessing. Think about that. He said, I'll cleanse you. But he says something first. When I am hallowed in you. And that's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be cleansed. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to give you a new heart. Amen. I'm going to empower you with my spirit so that you can obey. So that not only you can obey, but you can abide. And then what I'm going to do is, as you're abiding and obeying, I'm going to push the powers of darkness away. I'm going to vindicate for you. And I'm going to restore for you. And what didn't grow before, I'll allow it to grow, and I'll multiply and increase everything. That's His promise and His covenant. But the one thing we can't do is go back to what's unclean. That's where we must allow the Lord to build the house and not us. Amen? Water to cleanse or wash. And what's He going to do? He's going to restore us and reposition us for relationship. Let me ask you something. If somebody came up to you and asked you to use your vehicle, would you give it to them? If you didn't know them. Well, that's why the Lord says, people are asking things from God because they're seeking His hand, not His face. You know, anybody can work and get something. Amen? And you can say, oh, the Lord blessed me. But He didn't bless you. He blessed you with the talents and abilities, even though they're being misused. You can use the spiritual laws of sowing and reaping and get blessed. But it doesn't mean you're pleasing God. Amen? It is, because the only thing that's going to please God is relationship and intimacy. You know, He says He reigns on the righteous and the wicked. It doesn't matter. His hope is that everyone turns towards Him and repents and sets themselves from the unclean things so that there can be intimacy, relationship. But it's going to take a cleansing. It's going to take a cleanse. I'll tell you what else will contaminate you. Pride. Pride contaminates. It's the number one contaminator. The Bible says pride goes before a fall, doesn't it? Well, what does the tree offer the pride of life, doesn't it? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. Pride will contaminate an individual. Number one contamination, pride. Go to Psalm 51. That's why we must be quick to repent. Quick to repent and turn. Quick. The longer it takes you to repent, the more you justify and reason, the more you get deeper, deeper, and deeper. And there's times you can't even dig your way out no more. Sometimes you just got to wait for everything to collapse and rebuild. In Psalm 51 and verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my what? Transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He's saying, wash me, cleanse me. Here's an individual, David, who wants an intimate relationship with the Lord. Verse 3. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in what? Iniquity. And in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. What does he say? Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, and do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. The cleansing. Without being cleansed, none of this is available. Here is a man who went after the heart of God. Did David make mistakes? You bet. But he went after the heart of God. He touched God's heart. Wash and cleanse. And in this we see that the blood cleanses. Amen? The blood cleanses. And here in this word where it says wash, wash is associated with the word of truth, light. Light washes. In Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Thank God there's hope for everyone. Thank you, Jesus. Some people just need a kick in the pants or a Holy Ghost baseball bat to wake up. And that usually comes with a hard fall. In verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the what? Word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Again, washing with the word of light and truth. which washes the soul. This washes the soul to convert and to expose. So the Word of God washes us because it's light and truth. And what it's actually doing is exposing to and converting the soul because it's washing. Because the soul gets contaminated. The blood cleanses us from guilt and condemnation and the wrath of God. Through what? Repentance. Everything is associated with confession. Nothing is activated without speaking it because it is a ministry of the Spirit. Amen? In Matthew 3. So we see that the washing is with the Word. The blood is cleansing and washing. And there's another that washes and cleanses. In Matthew chapter 3. In verse 4, now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he was found, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Now I want you to understand that John was not eating flying locusts. It was a form of nut. That's where they got the cereal, nut and honey. Came from John, you know. Nut and honey. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to meet him. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Why? Because the end result is the wrath of God, isn't it? "Therefore bear fruits worthy of what? Repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with what?
Fire.
Fire is another area where God washes us and cleanses us. And the fire is what purifies your spirit. So we have the washings of the outside, the washings of the soul, and the washing of the spirit, which is associated with the fire. So when we're calling fire down, we're asking God to purify us within. In Malachi chapter 3. The cleansing. In verse 1, Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, which are associated as priests, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in what? Righteousness." So the fire is what purifies and cleanses your spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, refiner's fire. And we'll close here. 1 Peter 1, the cleansing, the washing, cleansing, the blood, the word, and the fire. The blood, the word, and the fire. 1 Pete 1, verse 3. Is everybody there? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The cleansing, the blood, the word, and the fire. And you can expect much more. Why? Because there's more wicked on the earth. There's going to be more and more separation. More and more separation. We're seeing more and more separation between the goat and the sheep. Because the goat is rebellious, the sheep is submissive. The goat is contaminated, the sheep is cleansed. So we'll see more and more of that happening. But the Lord will come and remove. In fact, he's removing even right now some. There are people who are, God has taken home before he loses them to hell. Because he's merciful and graceful. Amen? So remember the cleansing. The blood, the word, and the fire. And we'll see more of it. So keep yourself. Keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from any contamination. And stay separated from those things that will cause you to fall. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be imparted in us, protected in us, rooted in us, and washed by the blood of protection, sanctified, that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that it will penetrate our spirit, soul, and body with revelation, impartation, and confirmation so that we will be ready in season and out in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.